This is Rodney from the Masculine Journey podcast, where we explore manhood within Jesus Christ. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Sit back, enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Wow, wow, wow. Do we have a show for you today on Kingdom Pursuits? As most of our listeners are aware of the Persecution Project that we've partnered with them many times on projects, and even last Christmas, we were talking about this hospital that they needed in the Nuba Mountains because people had to walk literally days and days to get medical help because of the persecution there in the Sudan. And the good news is that today we have Ed Lyons and Matt Chancy with us to discuss that the hospital has made its way there, but now we got to supply it, right, guys?
Absolutely.
That's right.
Good morning, Robbie. Thanks for having us on the show.
Great to be with you, Robbie.
Yeah, it's great to be with you guys. My old friend Ed, and Ed, I'm not going to play with your name at all today, I promise.
Thanks.
And Matt?
You can play with mine.
That's pretty chancy, I think, isn't it?
It's pretty chancy.
So Matt, give us an update. What's happened?
Well, we're very pleased to report that after a long and difficult process, as you can imagine, not only working in a very difficult part of the world, a very remote part of the world, a part of the world that's been under a economic and military embargo since 2011, and then that, not to mention the coronavirus and all of the travel restrictions and closed borders and just in all around difficulties, God has nonetheless blessed the effort. And we have finally finished the construction of the maternity ward, the maternity hospital, attached to the Jugeiba Hospital in the Nuba Mountains of Sudan. So praise the Lord for that. This is a facility that, when it's fully furnished, will be able to provide life-saving care to as many as 60 women and infants at a time, inpatient care, which is just unheard of for that part of the world. So we praise God for that. We thank your listeners because Truth Talk listeners have been really, really troopers for us and have been very generous. And so we're at the part right now where we need to fill the hospital. There's the building's up. We've got the solar panels up. It's ready to receive patients. We need to just start putting in beds and furnishings and then eventually some medical equipment, baby monitors and incubators and things like that to help these moms. So, yeah, it's really exciting times for us. Despite all of the bad news that we hear, there's a lot of good things happening in the world today. And thanks in large part to God working through Truth Talk listeners.
Yeah, it's really amazing thing because I remember, you know, back at Christmas thinking about that, but oh my goodness, did we see the nobody saw on the horizon that the need that there would be for medical things for those, you know, people who've really suffered on all sorts of levels. Now we add COVID in there. Ed, have you been down there to see it?
Yes, I was there just prior to COVID hitting the United States. In fact, my trip back in early March was diverted from going through Europe, and I had to make a direct flight from Africa back to the U.S. To avoid that was when COVID was really striking Europe pretty badly before it got to the U.S. But that was my last visit there, and they had progressed to the point where the walls, roofs, foundation, solar panels, electric wiring, windows, doors, lights, fans, they were all there. They were putting down the tile on the floor when I was leaving. And so now the focus is on our phase three, raising funds for the furnishing. So that these women can get the help they need and the babies.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. You can go to Kingdom Pursuits or persecutionproject.com, either one, but I have it all there at Kingdom Pursuits. You know, there's pictures of all the medical stuff that's going on there and kind of give you the backstory of what's going on. But Bob is joining me now in the studio. It's really good to have you back, Bob. But, you know, it's Kingdom Pursuit, so you got to have, you know, Robbie's riddles. And so here we go. So, you know, you guys gave me the medical term today. So speaking of medical, you know, Ed, I'm sure you won't be shocked to learn. I'm sure you won't be shocked to learn this, Ed.
Okay.
That, you know, Dorothy from Somewhere Over the Rainbow?
Yep. Ruby well, Red Slippers.
That's her. Well, her medical instructor, you didn't know she had one, but he was the Wizard of Gauze. you could laugh too, Bob, or groan, or do something.
Groan, Bob. Groan.
He is.
There in the Nuba area, by the way, you know, Matt told me that the nurses in the new hospital, they call all the shots.
All the shots. I got that one.
And, you know, there is a small problem with the medical library there with this new hospital.
Oh, no.
These things happen. Yeah. The doctors keep taking out all the appendixes. It's horrible.
Can't read the book.
No. And, you know, I don't know if it's like this in the States, but the Nuban pediatricians are, they're doctors with, you know, very little patience. You'll put that together in a minute, Bob.
It's I'm there. Looking out the windows to see the crows swarm in to get this corn.
And I'm going to tell you that the Sudanian, is that what you said, Sudanian people?
I guess it works.
Sudanese. There you go. I'm glad you guys do that. The Sudanese people, they never argue with the Nuban doctors. You know why?
Why?
They have inside information.
Oh, my goodness.
And I learned how to say Nubian.
No, you didn't.
Nubian.
Well, I'm sort of a newbie. What do you know?
Sudanese.
Sudanese, yeah.
Educational
so
show.
So you
today.
Knew at the end of all that, I would actually, and I do, have a Bible riddle for you, and it's along the idea of medical. So which proverb in the Bible is actually about medicine, and you should take it to heart. Which proverb in the Bible is actually about medicine, and you should take it to heart? If you know the answer to that, Beth Ann, tell them what they'll win.
Oh, Robbie! We're going to go deep, 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 I tell you, into the Kingdom Pursuits prize pack. There's t-shirts, there's books, there's all kinds of great stuff, and we're going to drop it in the mail for them, Robbie.
All you have to do is call in and tell us there's a proverb in the Bible. It's about medicine, and from what I understand, you ought to take it to heart. You know, Solomon knew this kind of stuff. So 866 is the number to call in if you didn't know. 866-348-7884. 866-348-7884 is the number to call in and tell us, you know, again, simply, which proverb in the Bible is about medicine. And, you know, not that I'm giving you any hints, but I understand, Bob, that you ought to take it to heart.
I'm not sure I have a clue.
Oh, well.
But I'm not the riddle master.
Well, our listeners are. I would be shocked if we don't. In fact, the lines are ringing. They're calling in. They probably have it. But moving on, Matt, have you been down there to yourself to see the facility there in the new hospital?
Oh, I've been many times to the area. I've not been since Ed was there because all of the borders were closed for us. So I was in California when Ed was in Sudan, and I had probably a more difficult time getting out of California than Ed had getting out of Sudan.
Oh, my.
But I've been to the hospital many times. I had the privilege of meeting Dr. Ahmed Zachariah, the head physician, he's Sudanese, he's from the Nuba, and he chose to stay behind during the war to serve his people instead of going off to a scholarship at a medical school elsewhere and probably having a much better career, better pay and everything. But he decided, hey, my people need me here. There was only one physician at the time in the Nuba Mountains. That was Dr. Tom Katina, you know, great American hero.
Ooh, I hate to cut you off, Matt. Well, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to find out more about, wow, the heroic folks that are standing behind them. Kind of interested to know where Brad is. But we got so much more coming up with the Persecution Project and Bob. So stay tuned. Well, we got Mackenzie and Nancy both have answers to this riddle. I'm telling you, Bob, my listeners know their stuff. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we are so blessed to have with us my good friend Bob, but also Ed Lyons and Matt Chancy with the Persecution Project. And the Persecution Project, as we have mentioned, actually is working with Christians that are persecuted all over the world. But for years, they've been heavily involved with the people there in the Sudan, the Sudanese people, which I now know how to say.
And, can teach an old dog a new trick, can't you?
But, you know, what's going on there is not even in the least bit. I mean, Ed, can you kind of share with our listeners that what the Christians have actually faced there in the Sudan?
Well, I can tell you, one of my trips there in 2015, only on the ground for like 7 to 10 days. At that time, the North Sudan government was actively bombing the people in the Nuba from Antonov airplanes flying overhead. So in those 7 days I was on the ground there, we were bombed 4 times. We had ground-to-ground artillery shot at us on a Sunday right before church service was to begin. They were lobbing these artillery shells over the mountain. And I think within 1 hour, they lobbed about 40 at us and then stopped. And we went out and went ahead and had worship service under the tree. About 150 people in that community came out for that service. And then there was also during that 7 day period where we visited a hospital and a community. We had lunch in this community, and 15 minutes after we left that lunch, one of their MiG fighter jets, the Sukhoi jet, came through and shot 4 missiles targeting a school there. So that's just a typical time period, you know, from 2015 when the attacks were very active. Now they're basically battling a humanitarian embargo that's still in place by the government around this region.
Yeah, Matt, could you kind of give our listeners a feel if a mother was going to have a baby in that area and she's a Christian, what is she going to face?
Well, you can actually listen to one of those moms if you go to our website, or you go to nubahospital.com, where we talk about our program. We have a film called Medina Song, which you all have advertised in the past for us, and it's one of the mothers from the very community that will be served by this hospital. She talks about having to deliver her son Nadal in a cave during a bombing. She was very pregnant, and then one of the planes came over and started bombing. She fled to the caves with a lot of other people in her community, and she went into labor. When I met Dr. Ahmed in 2016, it was the day after his hospital had been bombed, and he was hit. He was nearly killed. The guy lying next to him on the ground was cut in half and killed instantly, but Dr. Ahmed was hit with shrapnel in his back, but he survived. At the same time, about 6 women in the community miscarried from that, just the trauma of that that one bombing episode. So being a mom in the Nuba Mountains is not easy, and even though Ed, and I'm glad Ed mentioned this, right now there's an uneasy ceasefire going that's in place, and it's holding. It's fragile, but it's holding. But the biggest killer from the very beginning has not been bombs and bullets. It's been food and medicine. It's been the lack of food and medicine. It's been the humanitarian blockade that the Islamist element in the government of Sudan is trying to push these people out of the Nuba. And they've used food and medicine as greater weapons of war than bombs and bullets.
Yeah, it's a terrifying thing. And, you know, what a neat opportunity we have here with the Truth Network to share this message, and also for you all to you know, be in prayer for what's going on with this hospital project. And if so led, you know, you can certainly, they would appreciate your donations for the furnishing. You know, obviously there's a medical equipment that they desperately need, and all those things. Again, you can go to the Persecution Project, or that, like you said, the Nuba Hospital Project. Is that what the other website is, Matt?
Yeah, NubaHospital.com. That's N-U-B-A Hospital.com. And that you can see a little thermometer showing how close we are to reaching our goal for the furnishing. We right now, it's a $75,000 budget. And at last check, we are we're just around a little more than $20,000 from our goal. So it doesn't take much. I mean, if you had something like 250 listeners contribute around $85 each, I mean, that we would reach our goal immediately, and we could get beds and mattresses and sheets and all the things we need to start putting women inside that hospital. And then we'll, the next phase, of course, will be getting the equipment. It'll be a little more expensive, obviously, but you know, getting people in the building and getting them treated is a very important thing, because as Ed can testify, a lot of times during the rainy season, when they have a huge influx of patients, you've got literally people under the trees with IV lines hanging from the trees because they just don't have any room to put people inside. So that's something we're trying to address.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, moving on to our riddle, the good news is we have two Riddlers, Bob.
There you go.
That have been holding on for a while. So we got Mackenzie is first, and she's in Raleigh. Mackenzie, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am wonderful. So do you know which proverb in the Bible about medicine, which I should say before I say that, is Nancy, please hold on even if she gives us the answer that you had in mind, because I would definitely want to talk to you. But Mackenzie, who do you think, or what proverb in the Bible was about medicine, but you should take it to heart?
I think it's a cheerful heart is good medicine. But a broken spirit dries up the bones.
I love that. Don't you? And a broken spirit does dry up the bones. And like, wow, these people in the Nuba Mountains, you know, we don't want them. But if you go watch that video, Mackenzie, I am telling you, you will be the joy that's in, I forget her name, Matt. What's
Medina.
Medina. The joy that's in her soul that you can see at that video is absolutely wonderful, Mackenzie. You're absolutely right. So we're going to send you out. What would you prefer, a T-shirt or a book?
A book sounds great.
Well, we have lots. I have all sorts of actually signed books from authors that have come in on our show. So we will get you one, Mackenzie. Thank you for calling in today.
Thank you so much.
God bless. Bye-bye. So next up we have Nancy, who is in Chapel Hill. I love that. I used to work in Chapel Hill. So, Nancy, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you might know of another place in a Proverbs that has medicine in it, but or if you know, if you had that one in mind, just share what you're thinking.
Well, it was that one in mind. I've been going through the Proverbs lately, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that one.
Oh, good, good, good. And so have you got sort of a way that speaks to your heart?
Well, yeah, because, you know, we're supposed to be very thankful, and I find that when you do, you can't have any complaints, and the joy comes out because you realize how blessed you are,
yeah,
you know, and if you aren't having a thankful kind of heart, you just dwell more on yourself and get depressed, you know?
I do know.
Because you don't see all the blessings around you.
That's yes. So amazing you said that, because when I'm having a bad day, it's usually because I'm focused on me. And the best medicine for that is to find somebody to help, and it'll cure it every time. But my bad days are me days when I get focused on myself.
Yeah, that is an insight that we all could use Nancy. And when you think about, you know, I've told this story before, but I can never get over it. There was one of the gentlemen with Ransom Heart Ministries was dying of cancer and actually did die. But during that time, he broke into this horrible fever, and he was, as he described it, his name's Craig McConnell. It was the most pain that he'd ever experienced in his life. And he had a wonderful conversational intimacy with Jesus. And so he's asking Jesus for help in this pain and in this fever and all that's going on. And Jesus says to him, I want you to pray for other people right now. And, you know, Craig, like, what?
It's my turn.
You want me to do what?
You know.
And yeah, go ahead, Nancy.
Robbie, there's also, you know, I always feel that Christ as a healer, that is medicine. And what lately has come to my heart so much is just wishing I could be that woman. It's mentioned in a couple different books, but like Mark comes to mind, where Jesus was traveling and a woman touched his cloak.
Oh, yeah.
Because she felt just enough touching, she'd be healed. And he just like, wow, and stopped because of her faith. You know, so I see when you're talking about medicine, you know, there's the healing aspect.
Oh, it definitely is.
It's not just the physical healing, but that is one way, too.
It sure is. And, Nancy, thank you for calling in and winning today. Would you rather have a book or a T-shirt?
A book, please.
All right. Well, we will get you another book sent out, and you have a great day, and I think I may at least see you on Zoom or something tomorrow in Chapel Hill.
Yes, you will.
God bless. Thanks, Nancy. Have a great afternoon. When we come back, we got welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we are so excited to have with us Ed Lyons and Matt Chancy with the Persecution Project, which has finished the building itself of the hospital in Nuba Mountains. But now we need to get some beds in there for these ladies and gentlemen, especially ladies that are, you know, with child and that kind of thing, that we can bring some new Christians into the into the world. And it's a wonderful thing. And it's so amazing, you know, what you guys are doing. But I got Amy Cabo, if you could hear Amy Cabo's daughter say Amy Cabo, it's always exciting. I love to hear it. But Amy, you guys, this is the host of The Cure, and today you guys got a cowboy on.
Oh, yes. Actually, I am the backup Amy, the other Amy.
Oh, you're Boris. The backup. I got Boris.
How are you, Robin?
I am wonderful. And how special I get to talk to Boris on the radio. That is wonderful. So, yeah, with the same,
and
it's the same.
You're right. You're right. We're very excited. We're going to have a pastor cowboy, Ty Robinson.
There you go. And so we have, you know, Boris, as you can tell, is not from the western area of the United States.
But I do have a cowboy hat.
Oh, well, you have a cowboy
hat. I still got it.
So, and it's really cool because this is a live show. It's on 1 o'clock, and this is just a delightful couple, and they have such amazing guests. But this guest this week, Boris Wright, is really taking God in really the western area of the United States and seeing God in nature itself, right?
Yes, and the good thing is they grow their own food. They have just unique idea about approaching Christianity with the environment, the self-sustainability, and just more holistic approach, I guess. We're going to hear him out.
That's wonderful, Boris. I'm so excited. Again, people can call in with their questions. It will be live today on the Truth Network. And you guys have several stations that are on Ambassador. If anybody's listening on one of those, they'll be on today at 1 o'clock Eastern. So thank you, Boris.
Thank you, Robbie.
It's great to hear you.
Have a good day.
You too.
Same here.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, he didn't want me to tell you that he wasn't Amy. That was his riddle.
That was his riddle. That, by the way, if you're listening, that's the voice of Beth Ann, my amazing producer, who I should thank as much as Boris and them, thank Jasper, because, you know, she does a great job, doesn't she, Bob?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
It's just what a wonderful thing to be able to come in here Saturday morning and have all this fun with all my friends. So speaking of friends, we got Matt and we got Ed. And so, Ed, where is Brad Phillips, who is, you know, that's my question. Is he also in the States?
Well, not yet, as far as I know. He has been confined in Kenya throughout the COVID crisis, and they were really strict with shutting down their travel, so getting in and out of borders. So he'd been, and they even locked down, had these curfews in place where I think it was from 7 p.m. to 5 a.m. each evening through the morning they had to be in their homes. So his travel was greatly restricted. Fortunately, that the borders were a little bit more porous for our emergency relief supplies that we were bringing up into the Nuba. So our drivers and the trucks carrying all the, our ministry efforts were not impeded by the COVID, because they've recognized the importance of all these other things that we're doing, the relief items that we're bringing in, the medicines, and so they've allowed our drivers to continue and getting all that up into the Nuba. So that's a blessing.
Wow, that is. But so Brad is still in Kenya.
Yeah, Brad is, I'll just jump in. Brad has been, as Ed said, he's been confined to quarters, so to speak, but it doesn't mean he hasn't been active, because the good, I'm right. So glad he's over there, because our Sudanese, most of our staff who actually implement the projects on the ground are Sudanese, so they can go in and out a lot easier than Westerners. So, but it's nice to have someone based in Kenya who's we've used Nairobi as sort of the launching pad for a lot of our operations in and out of Sudan. So Brad's been able to coordinate efforts from the office in Nairobi. So that was great, because Ed and I have been just, like everyone else, also confined to quarters
right
during this time period. So we're just grateful we have people over there who can still do the work.
Yeah, it's kind of neat to see God at work in all this. Before we knew the COVID crisis and the extent of it all, we had our workers up in the Nuba region of North Sudan, and then our logistics officer was based at that time in Juba, South Sudan, so that work continued. Brad was in Kenya, so all the supply chain there was continued, and then Matt and I have been back here in the States. So, yeah.
Yeah, they're
interesting to see it all.
Definitely crazy times, but we're blessed to have Bob Young here with my Christian Junkyard Guy. But Bob, I know you may not be familiar with all this as I am, so I'm curious your questions for these guys.
Well, you answered one of them, because you had mentioned having a baby, and you know, when he mentioned IVs hanging from trees, and is this the whole area there, or is it, how far do you go before it's different than that?
Well, this is several hours by walking to the Mother of Mercy referral hospital, which is also in the Nuba. It's also several hours walking if you go south across the border into South Sudan in a refugee area called Yida. There's some hospitals there as well, field hospitals. So for the people who live where we're building Dr. Ahmed's hospital, they're in the middle of nowhere in terms of medical care. So they have to foot it to get anywhere for several hours, because there's not many vehicles, unless they can find a rare vehicle and hitchhike. It's a very difficult process. One of the things we did provide Dr. Ahmed is with a nice ambulance that he can use. It's a big rugged Land Cruiser that he can use to move people, moving people to the referral hospital if there's something he's not able to treat at his hospital.
Well, I was going to say, if everybody's walking, then there's probably not roads, so any kind of vehicle you have would have to be all-terrain then, wouldn't it?
Right, well, they do have roads, but they're roads in quotes, because the roads are pretty rough. as you can imagine. They did some infrastructural work inside the NUBA during the few years of peace they had from about 2003 to 2011. But of course, those have not been properly maintained since the conflict restarted nearly 10 years ago. So, yeah, you need to have a very, very tough vehicle.
Mm. Yeah, it's been quite a story. And for those who aren't familiar with it, as those of us who have been with the truth for a while, it's Stu Epperson himself. But, you know, one of the first things the Persecution Project did was to dig wells because people didn't have any water. I mean, they were having to go miles and miles. So, Stu, we have pictures here at the Truth Network of Stu himself out there, you know, interviewing people with a microphone in their face.
I was on that trip. It was great. I mean, Stu is just, he was loving every minute of it. And he was so moved by the people there and their courage. I mean, he literally left the area with nothing but a pair of shorts on. He gave away all of his clothes. He gave away, had no shoes. He was wearing a pair of shorts barefoot on the airplane out.
That's our boy.
I know that doesn't surprise you.
But you know what? Stu was excited to find some of the Sudanese people were as tall as he was. And so his shoes fit them perfectly. His
exactly.
shirt fit them perfectly.
That's funny. But I could, you know, you can just see it. And so we've been close to this story for a long, long time, but it's so tragic that, you know, the Christians have been targeted there, yet God has been so faithful. And the joy that you see, the thing with Medina's song, if you watch the video, is you will see, Bob, is here's this person that really, for all intents and purposes, ought to be in the Murmur, you know, motel. They were checked in, and you know, but instead they're clearly in the Trust Tabernacle. So when we come back, we're going to hear more from Brad and Matt, and we need to hear from you. It's live. If you got a question for them, we'd love to hear it. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. We'd love to hear from you. Call us when we come back. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And along those lines, you know, we've heard Ed's story before, how he got involved with the Persecution Project, but I find it more than cool that God finds people with a heart, you know, for this kind of work. And so, Matt, we're interested in your story. How did you end up where you are with the Persecution Project?
Well, the short version is about 20 years ago, I received a phone call from Brad Phillips, and he said that he was incorporating a Persecution Project, which he had started about 3 years before as an offshoot of another organization, and he wanted to incorporate the organization in his own right. He needed directors. So he said, we had been friends for a few years, I said, well, what do you need from me? And he said, oh, nothing, you just attend a few meetings and that's about it, basically. And because I was young and stupid and I didn't know that when someone says, oh, you don't have to do anything, you should just actually run in the other direction. But I'm actually grateful that I said yes, because for about 5 years I really didn't do anything other than just the basic board governance and oversight stuff. But then that all changed in July of 2005 when I took my first trip into Sudan, and it was just tickets, as they say. I was all in, and been that way for the last 15 years. I've been many, many times. I lived in Africa for 8 years with my family, first in Kenya and then in South Africa, so we could be closer to the work, and it was just a fantastic experience. And it's become a wonderful, I've grown a lot in the process more than anything else, I think, because I first approached the whole subject of Christian persecution as sort of, you know, my duty as a Christian to help my brothers and sisters in Christ. But the more I've gotten to know the actual people on the ground who are persecuted, the more I realize that it's actually a great privilege for us to stand with our brothers and sisters. We tend to think of them as victims. They're not victims. They are frontline troops, because we have to remember that this is a spiritual battle, ultimately, that we're fighting. And the persecuted are the ones that God has chosen to put on the front line, dealing with the ultimate enemy of our souls. And we're the privileged ones who just get to hold the baggage in the background, and also to maybe, you know, be privileged enough to pass them some ammunition, so to speak, so they can continue the struggle. So I think I would just challenge all of your listeners to just think of it that way. You know, these people do have needs, but they are not victims. They are very strong, and one thing that we do as an organization, we don't want to take credit as kind of going into an area and doing ministry. We are going into an area where we're finding Christians who are already doing ministry. And Dr. Ahmed was already doing medical ministry. Medina was already active in women's ministry and teaching children in her community. We just get behind what they're doing and say, let's help you. We want to help you do what you're doing. So that's been sort of how my perspective has changed over the last 20 years.
Yeah,
you know, when I was young.
No, I was just going to say, it's so much that way. I remember when I started doing a devotion at the nursing home that was behind the car dealership I worked at. I've been doing it now for 20 years. But at first I thought, well, I'm going to really go do this nice thing for these people. And then the next thing you realize, man, these people are loving on you, and you have all these mothers. Like it says in Mark chapter 10, you're going to have 100 mothers. And all these people are praying for you and just investing in your life, and you see all those things. So I'm wondering, Matt, was there somebody in that trip in 2005 that just like, oh wow, God, this is why you had me come, this so I could meet this person, or something along those lines? Do you got a story like that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the first person I met, strangely enough, was the leader of the Sudanese People's Liberation Movement. His name was John Garang. He was a Christian Dinka who had been educated in the United States, and we ran into him, as it were. You know, one of these strange occurrences where we landed at a place called New Site to visit an orphanage, and I got to meet a lot of the orphans and students that were at this school, and it was just, that was my first experience, and it just blew me away. And then the president, the newly appointed vice president of Sudan, who was this rebel leader, flies in to this little airstrip, and he spends a few hours on the ground on his way to Khartoum to take his oath of office, which he did with his hand on a Bible, not the Quran. But he put his left hand on the Bible and gave his oath of office in English to send a message to the Islamic government that things were going to change. And he was tragically killed 30 days later in a mysterious helicopter crash. And what that taught me was that, you know, this is the real deal here. There's people are really taking risks to stand for the truth. And what am I going to do? You know, just watch it happen, or am I going to be a participant?
That is, yeah. Are we fighting for a cause worth dying for? It's just absolutely wonderful. Matt, Ed, we're so glad you came again. You can go to, tell them again where they can go to get involved, Matt.
Go to NubaHospital.com, N-U-B-A, hospital.com. You can go to also persecutionproject.org to see more about, learn more about our ministry.
There you go. And be in prayer. And thank you guys again for all you're doing. Ed, I've loved having you again, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you. You guys have a great weekend.
This is the Truth Network.